Thank you, Sam, and it's such a joy and a pleasure to meet all of you through this Monday morning. I was just thinking about suffering because that is a big challenge for all of us in everyday life. Suffering can be divided into two major categories. One is suffering beyond us, that is, we suffer for the sake of gospel. I was thinking about Paul, who suffered so much for the sake of gospel. That is the major thing. One fundamental thing, we suffer because of the decisions we take or the way we live in this world. So, why do we suffer? I could think of three major things which affect us. Number one, financial problems. So I am surprised whenever I get to the next level, like we are just hello, hello, and then after that, the moment we become a little close, 99.9% of the times I find people are in financial challenges like how I am. That is why Billy Graham said, if a person can handle his finances right, then 90% in this world, his problems will be solved. And that is why Jesus also in Luke 16:11, he said, if you cannot handle unrighteous mammon properly, how I can trust you with true riches? So one is financial issues. Number two, health issues. Again, health issues, some which happen beyond us, but majority is because of the way we live. And the third major issue is relationship issue. Again, majority of the relationship issues are because of the way we move or the way we relate with others. So I was thinking about Jesus' way in this world because he lived in this world and he actually showed us how to live in this world without any problems. Now, when we go to the gospel according to Saint Luke, Luke is the only gospel where he records Jesus' childhood. Number one, at the start of Luke 2, he talks about how Jesus was taken for circumcision when he was at the age when he was 8 days old. Then again, he's taken when he is 6 months old, and again, he narrates the incident which happens when he was 12 years old. So, for a Jew, going to the Jerusalem temple for Passover every year is a must. And for Jesus, for any kid, the year 13, 13th year, when they attain age of 13, is very important because that is the function of Bar Mitzvah, where they are allowed inside the congregation. And probably to Joe Jesus, how the Jerusalem temple and all is there, and to for familiarizing the surroundings, they took him when he was 12 years old. And those days, they used to travel in caravans, huge caravans, because this going for a Passover is a family affair, so all the friends and relatives will come. So each family, about 100 people or more, will be traveling. And the pattern is women and children travel in the front and the men at the back. So they go there, and while coming back, they didn't realize that Jesus did not join them. Now you can imagine, probably because Mary was in the front along with the children, she thought that Jesus was with Joseph in the caravan at the back. And Joseph again assumed the same thing, thinking that Jesus was in the front. And his age also was an in-between age. He is neither a baby nor a grown-up man. So there was confusion, and that is how they missed him. So they go back, it's a 3 days journey, and when they go there, they find Jesus among the elders. Now this is the background, and Jesus tells them, why are you searching for me? Because I have to be about my father's business. So at that young age itself, he made it very clear that his father is the father in heaven. And finally, these are all recorded in Luke chapter 2 from 17 to 52. And the last verse, Luke records like this: Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. So, three things. Number one, wisdom. Number two, stature. And number three, favor with God and man. So, recently I met somebody and he asked me, I was meeting him after a long time. He asked me how I am, how I am doing, how is my business and all that. So, I said, yeah, everything is fine by God's grace. But by just one decision, I lost 1.5 crores. So, that is the news. And he was taken aback. He looked at me and he said, a great one-liner, but it makes me very sad. And this entire 1.5 crores, I lost not because of the business, not because of the market. It is because of a very wrong decision. An emotional decision taken, which resulted in losing 1.5 crores in 2 years. So, it was very clear, I lacked wisdom and I was not led by the Spirit when I took that decision to associate with somebody. Now, you think about the decisions what you take. Is your decision based on God's wisdom, and is it led by the Spirit or is it by the flesh? Because there is a lot of difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge you can get, you can read. Now the world is full of knowledge. There is so much of data in the mobile and in the Google. So you can get any amount of knowledge. But using the knowledge and taking the right decision is from God. And here in James 1:5, James says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who will give generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So he says, you ask God. Now, when does he say this? So every time when we read the passage, we should see the context. A context, a text without a context becomes a pretext. So here, if you read the first four verses, it says very clearly, James says, consider it pure joy when you go through suffering of all types. So he is writing this letter to the congregation who is going through severe suffering, persecution, and he says, act with wisdom. So whenever we take major decisions, whenever we have challenges in our life, we should ask for wisdom. And this wisdom can come from above and above alone. So for a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit is within him, with him, but we have to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because there are three things which operate. Number one, our spirit. Number two, the evil force, the evil spirit. And number three, the Holy Spirit. So every time, when we are prompted, when we are going to take a decision, we have to see which spirit is talking to us. And we have to be careful, because every decision, every action has a consequence. God has forgiven me and he is setting me right. I am on the path of recovery. But just think, it's not only suffering for me, it is the suffering for the entire family because of my decision. They also suffer along with me. So, when it comes to finances, let us ask God to give us wisdom the wisdom from above. And when we take the right decisions, the chances of us failing are very, very less. Joseph was appreciated because of the wisdom he had, and that wisdom is from above. And when he gives the proposal to Pharaoh about how the grains have to be stored, how the grains has to be distributed, and how everything has to be done, and he says, appoint someone with wisdom who can do all this. And Pharaoh says, can we find someone who is better than this person? We cannot find anyone better than this person. And that is how Joseph becomes the prime minister. And it was purely from God. Every decision, everything he did. When we read from Genesis chapter 37 onwards, we see that he was filled with wisdom. So if you are going through some challenge and if you are feeling, I've done something wrong, don't worry. Surrender and then start again and ask the Lord to give you wisdom in everything you do. The second thing is Jesus grew in stature. When we say stature, we talk about the body. So again, it is a question of our health. I do not know about all of you. I was consistently around 76, 77 kgs till the COVID time. And after that, I became very lethargic. There was no exercise, no walking. And suddenly I see that my weight has gone to 84. And now I'm drastically trying to reduce. And I realized that as you grow older, especially after you cross 50 and above, the metabolism is very, very slow. The weight is not reducing the way it used to reduce. And especially the middle portion, it's a big struggle. Now, it is our duty to take care of our body. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul tells, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? Now, the problem is, we don't have any addictions and we think that is fine. But gluttony is a sin. You read the entire New Testament, wherever sins are mentioned, along with murder, along with adultery, along with lies and theft, gluttony is also mentioned. So, what is gluttony? Gluttony is eating much beyond what we require. We just do not bother about our body, and then we get into all types of illness. So, we get hypertension, we get diabetes, we get cholesterol, and again, we have to understand that our health not only affects us, again, it affects all the people around us. It affects our family. Our spouse have to suffer along with us. Our children may be somewhere, and whenever we become sick, it affects them. So, we become a liability for everyone. So, we have to take our body sincerely. Do we have the habit of exercising properly? Are we careful about what we eat? And do we really have care towards our body? So that is the second thing, stature. The third thing, it says, he grew in favor both with man and God. Now, this is the portion from Psalms 1, 1 to 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So if we have to prosper, if we actually have to have a good life in this world, we definitely need human favor. So what is human favor? Human favor is from help from people who do not know you, who do not have the same faith like you have, but still they are inclined to help you. So all of us who are in business, we know that nowadays business is nothing but relationship. It has got nothing to do with your quality and all the other parameters, which are all definitely important, but the ultimate is the relationship. Now, here the psalmist says, delight in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. So, what is delighting in the law of the Lord? Delighting is highly feeling happy in doing whatever God expects us to do. Now, Jesus brought the commandments to just two. If you read Matthew 22 to 37, 38, the word of God says very clearly, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. That is the first commandment. And the second commandment is love others. So these are the two commandments. Now, if you go to the gospel according to Saint John, if you turn to John chapter 14, twice in that single chapter, verse 15 as well as verse 21, Jesus tells his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if you read the Old Testament, if you go to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, Joshua is told that meditate on the law day and night and obey. So, if we love God, we have to obey his word. And if we have to obey his word, we should know what the word is teaching us. I have shared so many times, I accepted the Lord in 2003. Until such time, I was very clear and I was very firm that the Bible has got nothing to do with my business or my studies or anything. But after I accepted Jesus Christ, after I started reading the Word of God, I realized that the Word of God has guidance and is applicable to every area of my life, whether it is a relationship, whether it is my body, whether it is my finances, whether it is into my day-to-day business decisions. Whatever I want to do, definitely there is a guidance from the word. And if I had obeyed the word of God in every area of my life, even this loss could have been prevented. So just think. So for believers, for all of us, the problem is we are not against the word of God, but there are some areas which we keep away from the Lord. We say these areas, what you teach us is not practical, so we want to have a practical approach. We say, Lord, this will not work like this in India. It is better to do as per the world. But there is nothing like that. So partial submission actually is insubmission. Partial obedience is disobedience. We have to obey the law in every area of our life. It is difficult, but with the help of the Lord, with the help of the Holy Spirit, definitely we can do it. And then when you go to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 13 and verse 34, Jesus says, I give you one commandment. And what is that commandment? Love one another. He says, like how I and my Father have a relationship, you should love one another. Now, there are so many places where Jesus talks about the relationship we should have with others. If you read Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, he says, if we cannot forgive, then the Heavenly Father will not be able to forgive us. And again, he says, vengeance is mine. So he says, we should not have vengeance towards others. Again, he says, do not do evil for evil, but do good for those who do evil. And actually, he goes on to say that pray for those who persecute you. All this look very difficult, but actually, there is a blessing. And sharing this only for the glory of the Lord, the people who are responsible for such a loss, not only loss, the persecution and the suffering I underwent, I started praying for them every day. And this praying helped me first to get over my hurt. Number two, actually, it became a blessing for me. I have tried it. It has been successful. And we don't have any right to judge. In Matthew chapter 7, the word of God says very clearly, Jesus says, do not judge, because you will be judged with the same yardstick with which you judge others. So, if we decide to obey His law, then we will never, never have relationship problems. Recently, I read somewhere that you can never win an argument. And actually, an argument ultimately leads to split in relationships. After I read that, I have been sincerely trying not to get into arguments anywhere, including my spouse. So whenever it starts going into an argument, I just tell her, I'm not here to argue, I'll keep quiet. And actually, it has been having astounding results. You just think about the number of arguments you had in your life. You will think that probably it is satisfied your ego that you are able to shout at that person, or you were able to win that argument, but you might have won that argument, but you would have lost that person. So, the only person in this world who can claim that who was without sin was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when we say Jesus' way, we have to have His wisdom. We must have His stature, and like Him, we must have human favor and divine grace upon us. And there are enough words in the Bible to teach us how we can have wisdom, how we can grow in stature, how we can have favor from both God and man. And when we do this, the entire life becomes more peaceful and we can have a great, great life. So, whenever I listen to Sam's testimony, and I'm talking of Sam Devavara, like how he got over dead and how he has planned his life, I could see that that is what the word was talking us. And he is an example of how to overcome the challenges through the word. And the same Lord who gave such a victory to him can give a victory to you and me. For you, it may not be finance. For you, it may be health. For you, it may be relationships. Or for you, it may be just the starting of health issues. Just introspect and see the areas where the Lord is asking you to correct. And when we do that, we become a wonderful testimony. And we are in a mentoring ministry where we are actually supposed to mentor the next generation. And the best way to mentor someone is by our life, not by what we speak, but how we live. I always tell everyone, the maximum things, the good things, whatever I have in my life, is what I saw in my parents, not what they spoke. The discipline, the simplicity, the honesty, the integrity, the simple life, everything I learned by seeing them. So we can be wonderful testimonies to our children, to our grandchildren, and to whomever we are mentoring. And we can be wonderful ambassadors for God's glory when we follow the Jesus model. So let us follow the model in these three areas. So let us ask for wisdom, let us grow in stature, and let human favor and divine grace in everything we do. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Lord, thank you, Master, for speaking through your word. Yes, Lord, each one of us have some challenges in some area in our life. Lord, help us to learn from you and practice what you taught us. It is our desire that we should grow in wisdom, stature, and we should have human favor and divine grace in everything we do. Continue to minister to us. Lord, I pray for each and every one of my brothers and sisters who are here. Lord, give them the strength and the ability to be overcomers in the areas where they have challenges. Lord, I especially pray who have come here and joined with a sense of dejection as they start this week, thinking that how they are going to face this week. Strengthen them, Master. Lord, I pray for a special anointing of the Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us. Help us to be led by the Spirit at all times. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful ministry. We thank you for all those who are putting in their efforts. We commit Sam and Richie and all the full-time staff. Lord, let this ministry grow for your glory. Lord, we also remember Chris. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful strength and testimony you have given. Lord, I pray for the personal challenges he is going through. We bind the powers of darkness which bring all these unwanted disruptions. We claim victory in the name of Jesus. As he travels, Lord, let him hear wonderful news from his place, the miracles which happen in his family. Continue to minister to us, continue to guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.